I echo what Shannon said earlier. Thank you for being here today on a very cold day. God bless you. I hope it's a blessing to you to be here and worship our Lord together with his people. By this time, you are becoming familiar with the theme that we have for 2025. I'd like for you to say it with me if we can get that on the screen. All of us, all in, all the time. Over the last 2 weeks, we have looked at some individuals who have shown us through their life what it means to be all in with God's plan. 2 weeks ago, you may remember, we looked at Mary, the mother of Jesus. She for sure was all in with God's plan as she said to the angel, "Be it done to me according to your word." And then last week we looked at Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, and he too was all in with God's plan after he received some angelic persuasion. And who of us can fault him for that? For Joseph, what I see from him is that he had a listening ear, and he was willing to obey the voice of God. The angel would come to him several different times in Scripture. He would speak to Joseph. Joseph would hear him, and he would immediately get up, no questions asked, and he would obey the voice of God. That is quite an example to you and me as to what it means to be all in with God's plan. Today, we're going to look at yet another character from the New Testament who was all in with God's plan. And in fact, that's what we're going to do each Sunday over these first few weeks of this new year. We're going to make our way through the New Testament pages and highlight some of these people who were all in with God's plan and with Jesus himself. And hopefully we can learn from their example and choose to be all in ourselves all the time. Today we're looking at John the Baptist. He was all in with God's plan, even unto death. He never wavered. He never veered off track. He was faithful until the axe came down and separated his head from his body. And after that, for John, it was all glory for him. He would tell us it was worth it all to be all in with God's plan. He's receiving his heavenly reward. But for John today, I want us to focus more on his life than on his death. He was all in with his life. First of all, he lived his life on purpose. In other words, he knew what his purpose was, and he held on to that purpose. He was to prepare the way for the Messiah's coming. I want to read to you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. It says, "In the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every ravine will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked will become straight, and the rough roads smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of God.'" That was John's calling, and he never lost sight of that calling. He came preaching repentance, preparing the way for Jesus to come. And you could say it this way: John was blazing a trail for the Messiah. He was clearing a path so that the Messiah could come and do his work. Think about this. The people of God had not heard from God for 400 years, all the way back to the prophet Malachi. For 400 years, God's voice had been completely silent. That's a long, long time. If you go back 400 years in our country, that's when the people from Europe were making their way over here, and they were just beginning to plant their roots along the eastern seaboard. That's when the first colonies were being established, 400 years ago. 400 years is a long time for God to be silent. And then all of a sudden, this guy named John is out there in the wilderness preaching, and people by the droves were coming to hear what he had to say. His message was like water to a thirsty soul. It was like food to a beggar, and people were coming to hear his message. He was preparing the way for the Messiah. I wonder, are you and I living according to purpose? Or are we living according to God's calling in our life? I hope that we are. I hope that we know what our calling is. I hope that we know what our purpose is. According to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, we have been created for God's glory. Think about that. Your purpose, your calling, my purpose, my calling is to give glory to our Creator. Psalms 119, verse 175 gives support to that. It says, "Let my soul live that it may praise you." We have been put here on this earth to give Him glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "So then, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Our words are to give Him glory. Our thoughts are to give Him glory. Our actions are to give Him glory. What we do with our finances, how we treat our body, how we treat other people around us, whatever it is, Paul says, do it to the glory of God. That's our purpose. That's the calling that we have, and we need to live according to that calling. I do think it's important that I clarify something here. If we are living according to purpose, does that mean that we have everything together? That everything is going according to our favor? Is that what it means? No, not at all. Think about John the Baptist for a second. Maybe you recall there was a period when John had doubts about Jesus. He had questions. He was in jail unjustly, and it didn't seem like things were going according to plan. And so what did he do at that time? He sent some of his disciples to Jesus to ask him some questions. "Are you the one?" he said through those disciples. "Are you the one that we're waiting for? Are you the Messiah?" Even John the Baptist had questions. He didn't have everything completely figured out. He didn't have all of his ducks in a row, nor will we. But John knew who to take his doubts and questions to, didn't he? He knew that Jesus was the one that he should turn to when times were difficult for him. When he had these doubts and questions, he turned to Jesus, and he knew that Jesus was the one that he needed to lay it all at the feet of Jesus. And I want to encourage you and me to do the same thing. We may not have everything figured out in life. We may not have all the answers or all the questions answered about suffering, or the why of a certain tragedy, or how this particular problem could possibly fit into the plan of God. But we know that He is the one that we need to go to, and He is the one that we lay it all at His feet, and we trust Him with our whole life and everything that is going on in our life. We give it to Him because He's the one who can bear our burdens. He's the one who can make our way straight in His time. In His time. Let me give to you a second point that indicates to me that John was all in with God's plan. And that is this: he stayed the course with his mission. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because we spent all of last year, all of 2024, talking about our mission of taking the good news of Jesus to the world. And this is the point that I'm wanting to make about John the Baptist. And believe me, as we make our way through the New Testament, looking at different characters there, we will see this show up over and over again, these folks who are staying the course with their mission of preaching the good news about Jesus. John certainly did that. He didn't back down from preaching repentance. And it really didn't matter who his audience was, whether it was the common folks or the tax collectors or the prostitutes or the Roman soldiers. He told them the truth of God's word. He didn't tickle their fancy. He stepped on some toes. He was even willing to step on the toes of the Pharisees. And he stepped on the toes even of Herod the king and his mistress Herodias. He called them out for their immoral ways, and that's what got him thrown into prison, and that's what eventually got his head on the chopping block. He was not one to compromise the truth of God's word. He was bold in preaching that word of God. And that's the challenge that we need to have from John's life. If we want to be all in with Jesus, if we want to be all in with the plan of God, we need to be willing to share the message of Jesus with the world unashamedly. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, that was our theme verse from 2024, where Jesus, with his great commission, says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." And Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," Paul said, "for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." John the Baptist was not ashamed. He stayed on course with his mission of preaching the good news. Let me give to you a third point that indicates to us that John the Baptist was all in with God's plan, and that is this: he lived his life distinctly. You recall his special diet of honey and locusts. Now, I like the honey part, but that locust part doesn't sound too good to me. I don't know about for you. And his dress was distinct too: a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And he was a Nazarite. Being a Nazarite, he never cut his hair. He never drank any alcohol at all. I mean, this guy was of distinct character, and it didn't seem to bother him a bit. He didn't seem to mind being different from everyone else. Now, here's another way to put it. He didn't walk according to to everybody else's drumbeat. He walked according to God's drumbeat. And we need to walk according to God's drumbeat too. That doesn't mean that we have to go out and get a garment of camel's hair and wear a leather belt around us, but it does mean that we should be living a distinct life from the world and according to His plan. You know what the word is that would describe what I'm talking about here? The word holy. We should be holy before God, set apart from the world. Yes, in a lot of ways, we should dress differently from the world. Do you hear that? We should dress differently from the world, and I think if we listen to the Holy Spirit, He will guide us in those kinds of decisions. But not only our dress, but as I said earlier in the message, the way we talk, the way we think. Our morals should be different from the world. Our coming and going, where we're going and who we're hanging with. We need to be a holy people. What we look at on the internet, that should be different than what the world is looking at. God has set us apart. He has called us to come out of the world and to be set apart unto Him, to be like His Son, Jesus. If we have not come apart from the world, then something is drastically wrong with us. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. Actually, 14 through 16. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." He calls us to live a distinct life. And that's a part of being all in with God's plan. Let me get to you one final point. As we're talking about John the Baptist, what was it about John the Baptist that we could say, yeah, he was all in with God's plan? Number four, he was a humble guy. He lived his life humbly. In Mark chapter 1, the people were wondering if John was the Messiah. And you know what? If he would have said, "Yes, I am he," he already had quite a following. And he could have gained a much larger following. But he didn't make that claim. He wasn't after the glory for himself. He pointed people to the one who was coming after him, saying, "I am not even fit to get down and untie the sandals of this one who is coming after me. I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." And of course, he was speaking about Jesus. And all along the way, John was pointing people towards Jesus. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 30, John the Baptist said, "He must increase," speaking of Jesus, "but I must decrease." Think about that. That is quite a statement. He must increase, but I must decrease. The New Living Translation translates that verse this way: "He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." And the context of this This passage is John's disciples, they're coming to him, and they have a concern in their mind and heart, and the concern is simply this: Jesus, did you know that those who have been following you, a lot of them now are following Jesus? They're leaving you, John. You know what John said? He said, that's okay. I mean, that's what's supposed to happen. I have come to prepare the way for him. They need to go to him. He's greater than me. He must take the front seat while I take the back seat. Wow. John was humble enough that he wanted that to happen, for people to leave him to go to Jesus. He was not the Messiah. He was the forerunner to the Messiah. He was to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And once the Messiah came, he needed to fade. He needed to fade completely away, and that's what John was willing to do. Let me ask you, have you ever been in the limelight and then had to step away from the limelight so that you could make room for somebody else to be there? It's not an easy thing to do. When you're used to the spotlight being on you, when you're used to the attention coming your direction, it's not an easy thing to do for you to step away and say, hey, put the spotlight on that guy over there, because that's where it belongs. And that's John the Baptist to a T. He was all about Jesus. He was all about the kingdom of God more than what he was about himself. You know what? It's no wonder that Jesus said of John in Matthew chapter 11, he is the greatest man born of woman. What? You think about all the great people through the pages of Scripture. You think about such people as Abraham and Moses and David and Elijah and Elisha and Daniel, and the list could go on and on there, couldn't it? And Jesus said, no one is greater than John the Baptist. Wow. He was all in with the plan of God. And our prayer needs to be, God, help us, help me to be all in all the time. Let's pray together. God, I want to give just a moment of silence here for people to pray individually. Just this prayer, God, I want to be all in, all the time. Help me. And Lord, as you hear these prayers, may you honor them. May you help us. We've earlier in the service heard about your grace, your amazing grace. And we need it desperately, because we don't measure up. We cannot earn our way into your favor. And so thank you for your grace. May your grace help us to be what you want us to be and to strive for that. In Jesus' name, amen.